Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world.
It's Passover time, so I thought I'd read you a Passover story. It's called On Account of a Hat by Shalom Aleichem, and this version is adapted from the book A Treasury of Yiddish Stories, edited by Irving Howe and Eliezer Greenberg. It was translated by Isaac Rosenfeld. The story was supposedly told to Shalom Aleichem by a paper merchant from Kazrilevka, who says that it's one of the many stories told there about Shalom Shachna, known for being a scatterbrain. This Shalom Shachna I'm telling you about, whom we call Shalom Shachna Rattlebrain, is a real estate broker. You hear what I say? He's always with landowners negotiating transactions. Transactions? Well, at least he hangs around with landowners. So what's the point? I'll tell you. Since he hangs around the landed gentry, naturally some of their manner has rubbed off on him. And he always has a mouthful of farms, homesteads, plots, acreage, soil, threshing machines, renovations, woods, timber, and other such terms having to do with estates. One day, God took pity on Shalom Shachna, and for the first time in his career as a real estate broker, are you listening? He actually worked out a deal. That is to say, the work itself, as you can imagine, was done by others. And when the time came to collect the fee, the big rattler turned out not to be Shalom Shachna Rattlebrain, but Drobkin, a Jew from Minsk province. A great, big, fearsome rattler, a real estate broker from way back. He and his two brothers, also brokers and also big rattlers. So you can take my word for it, there was quite a to-do. A Jew has contrived and connived and has finally, with God's help, managed to cut himself in. So what do they do but come along and cut him out? Where's justice? Shalom Shachna wouldn't stand for it. Are you listening to me? He set up such a holler and an outcry, look what they've done to me, that at last they gave in to shut him up, and good riddance it was too. When he got his few cents, Shalom Shachna sent the greater part of it home to his wife, so she could pay off some debts, shoo the wolf from the door, fix up new outfits for the children, and make ready for the Passover holidays. And as for himself, he also needed a few things. And besides, he had to buy presents for his family, as was the custom. Meanwhile, the time flew by, and before he knew it, it was almost Passover. So Shalom Shachna, now listen to this, ran to the telegraph office and sent home a wire. Arriving home Passover without fail. It's easy to say arriving and without fail at that, but you just try it. Just try riding out our way on the new train and see how fast you'll arrive. Ah, what a pleasure. Did they do us a favor? I tell you, Mr. Shalom Aleichem, for a taste of paradise such as this, you'd gladly forsake your own grandchildren. You see how it is. Until you get to Slodievka, there isn't much you can do about it. So you just lean back and ride. But at Slodievka, the fun begins, because that's where you have to change to get onto the new train, which they did us such a favor by running out to Kazrilevka. But not so fast. First, there's the little matter of several hours' wait, exactly as announced in the schedule. Provided, of course, that you don't pull in after the Kazrilevka train has left. And at what time of night may you look forward to this treat? The very middle, thank you, when you're dead tired and disgusted without a friend in the world except sleep, and there's not one single place in the whole station where you can lay your head. Not one. When the wise men of Kazrilevka quote the passage from the Holy Book, Tov Shem Meshemen Tov, they know what they're doing. I'll translate it for you. We were better off without the train. To make a long story short, when our Shalom Shachna arrived in Slodievka with his carpet bag, he was half dead. He had already spent two nights without sleep. But that was nothing at all to what was facing him. He still had to spend the whole night waiting in the station. What should he do? Naturally, he looked around for a place to sit down. Whoever heard of such a thing? Nowhere. Nothing. No place to sit. The walls of the station were covered with soot. The floor was covered with spit. It was dark. It was terrible. He finally discovered one miserable spot on a bench where he had just room enough to squeeze in, and no more than that, because the bench was occupied by an official of some sort in a uniform full of buttons, who was lying there all stretched out and snoring away to beat the band. Who this Buttons was, whether he was coming or going, he hadn't the vaguest idea, Shalom Shachna, that is. But he could tell that Buttons was no dime a dozen official. This was plain by his cap, a military cap with a red band and a visor. He could have been an officer or a police official, who knows. But surely he had drawn up to the station with a ringing of bells, had staggered in full to the ears with meat and drink, laid himself out on the bench as in his father's vineyard, and worked up a glorious snoring. It's not such a bad life to be a Gentile, and an official one at that, with Buttons, thinks he, Shalom Shachna, that is. And he wonders, dare he sit next to this Buttons, or hadn't he better keep his distance? Nowadays, you never can tell whom you're sitting next to. If he's no more than a plain inspector, that's still all right. But what if he turns out to be a district inspector, or a provincial commander, or even higher than that? And supposing this is even Perishkevich himself, the famous anti-Semite, may his name perish. Let someone else deal with him, and Shalom Shachna turns cold at the mere thought of falling into such a fellow's hands. But then he says to himself, now listen to this. Buttons, he says, who the hell is Buttons? And who gives a hang for Perishkevich? Don't I pay my fare the same as Perishkevich? So why should he have all the comforts of life and I none? If Buttons is entitled to a delicious night's sleep, then doesn't he, Shalom Shachna, that is, at least have a nap coming? After all, he's human too. And besides, he's already gone two nights without a wink. And so he sits down on a corner of the bench and leans his head back, not, God forbid, to sleep, but just like that to snooze. But all of a sudden he remembers he's supposed to be home for Passover, and tomorrow is Passover Eve. What if, God have mercy, he should fall asleep and miss his train? But that's why he's got a Jewish head on his shoulders. Are you listening to me or not? So he figures out the answer to that one too, Shalom Shachna, that is, and goes looking for the porter, a certain Yeremai. He knows him well, to make a deal with him. Whereas he, Shalom Shachna, is already on his third sleepless night and is afraid, God forbid, that he may miss his train. Therefore, let him, Yeremai, that is, in God's name, be sure to wake him, Shalom Shachna, because tomorrow night is a holiday, Passover. Easter, he says to him in Russian, and lays a coin on Yeremai's mitt. Easter, Yeremai, do you understand, Goyeshakup? Our Easter. The peasant pockets the coin, no doubt about that, and promises to wake him at the first sign of the train. He can sleep soundly and put his mind at rest. So Shalom Shachna sits down in his corner of the bench, gingerly, pressed up against the wall, with his carpet bag curled around him so that no one should steal it. Little by little he sinks back, makes himself comfortable, and half shuts his eyes. No more than 40 winks, you understand. But before long, he's got one foot propped up on the bench, and then the other. He stretches out and drifts off to sleep. Sleep? I'll say sleep, like God commanded us. With his head thrown back and his hat rolling away on the floor, Shalom Shachna is snoring like an eight-day wonder. After all, a human being, up two nights in a row, what would you have him do? He's fast asleep in the middle of a strange dream when suddenly he feels someone shaking him. "Get up," says a voice. "Time to get up." "Time? What time?" Shalom Shachna is all confused. Is he dreaming or not? He finally comes to his senses and recognizes Yeremai the porter. So he realizes that he's in the station at Slodievka, on the way home for Passover, and that if he means to get there, he'd better run to the window for a ticket, but fast. Now what? No hat? The carpet bag is right where he left it, but his hat? He pokes around under the bench, reaching all over, until he comes up with a hat. Not his own, to be sure, but the official's, with the red band and the visor. But Shalom Shachna has no time for details, and he rushes off to buy a ticket. The ticket window is jammed. Everybody and his cousins are crowding in. Shalom Shachna thinks he won't get to the window in time, perish the thought, and he starts pushing forward, carpet bag and all. The people see the red band and the visor, and they make way for him. "Where to, Your Excellency?" asks the ticket agent. "What's this excellency all of a sudden?" wonders Shalom Shachna, and he rather resents it. Some joke, a Gentile poking fun at a Jew. "All the same," he says, Shalom Shachna, that is, "Kazrelevka." "Which class, Your Excellency?" The ticket agent is looking straight at the red band and the visor. Shalom Shachna is angrier than ever. "I'll give him an excellency so he'll know how to make fun of a poor Jew." But then he thinks, "Oh, well, we Jews are in diaspora. You hear what I say? Let it pass." And he asks for a third-class ticket. "Which class?" The agent blinks at him, very much surprised. This time, Shalom Shachna gets good and sore, and he really tells him off. "Third," says he. "All right," thinks the agent. "Third is third." In short, Shalom Shachna buys his ticket, takes up his carpet bag, runs out onto the platform, plunges into the crowd of Jews and Gentiles, no comparison intended, and goes looking for the third-class carriage. Again, the red band and the visor work like a charm. Everyone makes way for the official. Shalom Shachna is wondering, what goes on here? But he runs along the platform till he meets a conductor carrying a lantern. "Is this third class?" asks Shalom Shachna, putting one foot on the stairs and shoving his bag into the door of the compartment. "Yes, Your Excellency," says the conductor, but he holds him back. "If you please, sir, it's packed full, as tight as your fist. You couldn't squeeze a needle into that crowd." And he takes Shalom Shachna's carpet bag, you hear what I'm saying? And sings out, "Right this way, Your Excellency, I'll find you a seat." "What the devil?" cries Shalom Shachna. "Your Excellency and Your Excellency." But he hasn't much time for the fine points. He's worried about his carpet bag. He's afraid, you see, that with all these excellencies, he'll be swindled out of his belongings. So he runs after the conductor with the lantern, who leads him into a second-class carriage. This is also packed to the rafters, no room even to yawn in there. "This way, please, Your Excellency." And again, the conductor grabs the bag, and Shalom Shachna lights out after him. Where in blazes is he taking me? Shalom Shachna is racking his brains over this excellency business. But meanwhile, he keeps his eye on the main thing, his carpet bag. They enter the first-class carriage. The conductor sets down the bag, salutes, and backs away bowing. Shalom Shachna bows right back, and there he is, alone at last. Left alone in the carriage, Shalom Shachna looks around to get his bearings. You hear what I say? He has no idea why all these honors have suddenly been heaped on him. First class, salutes, Your Excellency. Can it be on account of the real estate deal he just closed? That's it. But wait a minute. If his own people, Jews that is, honored him for this, it would be understandable. But Gentiles? The conductor? The ticket agent? What's it to them? Maybe he's dreaming. Shalom Shachna rubs his forehead, and while passing down the corridor, glances into the mirror on the wall. It nearly knocks him over. He sees not himself, but the official with the red band. That's who it is. All my bad dreams on Yeremai's head and on his hands and feet, that lug. 20 times I tell him to wake me, and I even give him a tip. And what does he do, that dumb ox, may he catch cholera in his face, but wake the official instead? And me, he leaves asleep on the bench. Tough luck, Shalom Shachn, old boy, but this year you'll spend Passover in Slodivka, not at home. Now, get a load of this. Shalom Shachna scoops up his carpet bag and rushes off once more, right back to the station where he's sleeping on the bench. He's going to wake himself up before the locomotive, God forbid, lets out a blast and blasts his Passover to pieces. And so it was. No sooner had Shalom Shachna leaped out of the carriage with his carpet bag than the locomotive did let go with a blast. Do you hear me? One followed by another, and then... good night. So on account of being such a rattle brain, Shalom Shachna had a miserable Passover, spending both Seders among strangers in the house of a Jew in Slodivka. When he got home, his wife berated him, not so much because he had spent the holiday away from home, but rather for the telegram, which had assured her that he would be home for Passover without fail. But that was nothing compared to what he caught from the town. By the time he got home, everyone had heard the whole story, even though he said he had been held up on business. Holding their sides, they pointed him out in the street and asked him, "How does it feel, Reb Shalom Shachna, to wear a cap with a red band and a visor?" "And tell us," said others, "what's it like to travel first class?" And wherever he went, the children trooped after him, shouting, "Your Excellency! Your Excellent Excellency! Your Most Excellent Excellency!" You think it's so easy to put one over on Kozrelevka? Well, that's it for this week. We hope you enjoyed our story. And as always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. I'll leave you now with the four questions in Yiddish from the CD Songs My Bubba Should Have Taught Me by the Laurie Kahn Simon Ensemble. Traditionally, the four questions were asked in Yiddish in Eastern Europe, because very often the youngest child hadn't learned to read Hebrew yet. This is still a tradition among the very Orthodox and in Yiddishist homes. A very happy Passover to all of you from all of us here at Radio Sefarad. See you next week.
Tate, Tate, ich will dir fragen, die vier Kasches. Tate, Tate,
man ist dann noch, Alayla Hazeh. Man ist dann noch, man ist dann noch, Alayla Hazeh.
Die erste Kashi ist, Shebechal Hallelois, on Euchlin, komme zu Matze, Alayla Hazeh. Loi matze alle nacht von der ganz jo essen mir sei hom mit sei matze aber die nacht von peisa essen mir nur matze
man ist dann no man ist dann no alle la hase man ist dann no man ist dann no alle la hase
Die zweite Kasche ist, Shebech al Hallelois, on Euchlin, Sheor Yerokois, Halayla Hazeh, Mor. ne ganz Jahr. Essen wir alle Grinsen, ob die Nacht von Pesach, essen wir nur bittere Grinsen.
Man ist dann noch, man ist dann noch, Halleluja,
Halleluja.
Man ist dann noch, man ist dann noch, Halleluja.
Die dritte Kashi ist, Shevachol Hallelois, Einonu Matbilin, Afilu Pamechos. Halleluja, Steife Omi. Alle Nacht von ganz Jahr, trunken wir viele einmal nicht. Ober die Nacht von Pesach, trunken wir ein, zweimal. Die erste Mal rein in Geräusches, und die zweite Mal a Zieberle in Salzwasser.
Man ist dann noch, man ist dann noch, Halleluja,
Halleluja,
man ist dann noch, man ist dann noch, Halleluja.
Die vierte Kashi ist, Shebechol Hallelois, on euch lin, bein euch wien und wein misubin, Halleluja, kulonu misubin. Alle Nacht von der ganzen Jahr, essen wir sei sitzen dick sei ungelehnt. Ober die Nacht von Pesach, essen wir nur ungelehnt.
Man ist dann noch, man ist dann noch, Halleluja,
Halleluja,
man ist dann noch, man ist dann noch, Halleluja.